Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Mesmer by Tony Dove. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio. I'm Valerie Smaldone. In the 1980s, after a successful career as a painter, Tony Dove began her work with the electronic media. The upcoming production, Mesmer, Secrets of the Human Frame, is her first major work for radio. Both abstract and sensual, both sci-fi and reality, it traces the way we construct human identity and subjectivity, and it reflects the images we have created of our relationship to technology. The work is dedicated to Mary Shelley, who created Frankenstein, who created an android, and thus disturbed with profane fingers the tremendous secrets of the human frame. Mesmer, Secrets of the Human Frame by Tony Dove, with a sound score composed entirely of electronically processed vocal sound.
There was a story to tell, and the story was about a century, and the century was the one we were about to exit. It starts with Thomas Edison, the birth of cinema, the phonograph, with Freud and psychoanalysis, with the Gothic novel and the Industrial Revolution. And the story is how we changed as the century changed. This story is about building an android. Our relationship to the machine and to ourselves is inscribed in the portraits we create of automatons, androids, robots, and cyborgs. It's about constructing identity, a shifting concept, elusive and changing through time. It's about finding and losing your voice. Because to have a voice is to be present in the world. This is a space of vocal presence and carnal absence. This story is itself an android, and it is dedicated to Mary Shelley, who created Dr. Frankenstein, who created an android, and thus disturbed with profane fingers the tremendous secrets of the human frame. Come. Caught into the body of this story is a series of excerpts from Villiers de Lisle Adams' novel, Tomorrow's Eve. Written in 1886, the novel is a fiction about Thomas Edison, inventor of the phonograph, and the man who captured Echo. A friend of Edison's, Lord Ewald, falls in love with a beautiful courtesan whom he considers to be the ideal of female beauty. His rapture knows no bounds until she opens her mouth to speak and reveals the soul of a bourgeois. In transcending her objectness, she becomes for him a kind of nightmare. Edison takes pity on his friend, and in his capacity as an inventor, creates for him the perfect woman, an android. Thomas Edison describes the construction of the mechanical android.
The android is divided into four major parts. The epidermis, or human skin, which includes and consists of the coloring, the porosity, the features, the special glitter of the smile, the delicate marks of expression, the exact lip movements of speech, the hair and the entire system of down, the eye assembly with the associated individuality of the glance, not to speak of the teeth and mouth systems and those of the nails.
Freud speaks.
When Dora, at the age of 18, came to me for treatment, she was again coughing and in a characteristic manner. The number of these attacks could not be determined, but they lasted from 3 to 5 weeks and on one occasion for several months. The most troublesome symptom during the first half of an attack of this kind, at all events in the last few years, used to be a complete loss of voice. The diagnosis that this was once more a nervous complaint had been established long since. But the various methods of treatment, which are usual, including hydrotherapy, and the local application of electricity, had produced no result.
Dora, Freud's patient.
Under my skin. So deep in my heart.
It was the context, you see, that made it happen. The events surrounding me were so offensive and beyond my power to change. It produced first frustration, then desperation. In the beginning, there was a small, dry cough, nagging, annoying, but merely a nuisance. As the situation progressed, as the pressure became unbearable, I found I could not speak at all. I felt myself betrayed from every corner of my life. Betrayed by mother, father, friend, lover. Betrayed even by my own body in complicity with the unspoken barter between my father and my lover. I felt desire I did not want.
Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality. Wake up to reality.
Silence for silence for silence. My father, silent about my lover's seduction of me. My lover, silent about my father's seduction of his wife, my father's mistress, my friend. Oh, silence was my exchange value, and silence poured out of me. If a symptom occurs from a daydream gone underground, escaped from consciousness, away from awareness, was this my case? Or was the illness all around me? My defense? Somnio ergo sum.
'Cause I've got you.
I dream myself up.
Under my skin.
Therefore I am.
The plastic mediator. That is to say, the metallic envelope which isolates the inner spaces from the epidermis and the flesh. This is a sort of armor with flexible articulations within which the interior system is solidly fastened.
Echo, a nymph.
At first it was a favor, really. And who could say no to Zeus, or perhaps it was a command? To weave tales, spin yarns, and to generally suspend disbelief. I, to distract Hera while he distracted himself. The reason for the tales uncovered, Hera wants revenge. From Zeus? Not likely. And so from me. My voice, my own. Its sound, its timbre. My words, the mirror of what I hear. That's it. Of course, there are tears in the net. I can edit, alter, escalate, color, and subtly sculpt a phrase. So things went. And then, Narcissus. Oh, so fair. But he could not see me for himself, so lost was he in his own image. That flickering reflection. He danced his phrases to and fro. He spoke. I cut and pasted, parried back. I worked so hard, I wearied, wore myself transparent with the weight of unrequited effort. And on and on, to no avail. To what end this struggle? I pine away, lose all corporal presence, and bounce around the hills returning sound. And what a machine I am now, threading magnetic tape. And who speaks?
The living system of the interior, consisting of equilibrium, walking, talking, gestures, senses, the expressions of the face, which is still to come, and the inward regulator of movements, or to put it more simply, the soul.
A cyborg angel speaks in multiple voices.
Monomolecular circuitry to the optic nerve. Visual system collects information into highly specialized sensory receptors. The eyes. The retinal net sends information from photoreceptors via optic nerve to visual cortex. Visual cortex lights up. Data reconstructed into understandable visual images. Stored as AV memory. ROM package. Walking data storage. Auditory system receptors. The ears. Wired with biosynthetic tendrils to the auditory ganglia. Collect data and send via acoustic nerves to auditory cortex. Auditory cortex interprets signals and stores as AV memory. ROM package. Biochip playback system. Video and audio. Disorientation, aphonia. Waning or disturbance of affect. Aphasia. Word salad. Jargon aphasia. Disconnection syndrome. Rapid comprehension of multiple input channels. Increased information access. Electronic stimulation of memory and language.
Oh, I was floating, hovering overhead, feet never touching the ground, porous bird bones, keeping me light in the air, but never touching the ground. I ate a peach and it spoke to me. I float free. Make love like a dragonfly coupled in the air. It's always been, or was there a before? I keep losing my place, slipping back. It's always here and now, right this minute. Sometimes it's dark and lights flash way in the backs of my eyes. And I reach out. Nothing's there.
The flesh, or artificial flesh, to call it by its proper name, placed over the plastic mediator and adhering to it. When penetrated by the animating fluid, it forms the traits and contours of the imitated body, with the particular and personal emanation of the body to be reproduced. the hollows and swellings of the bony structure and the musculature, the system of veins and arteries, the sexuality of the model, all the proportions of the body, and so forth.
I remember reading this story, which starts with two old men who have been very successful, powerful, now retired, impotent. They meet in a gentleman's club every afternoon like two declawed tigers. Each is the other's witness when they talk about their memories. One man tells of a house of prostitution he's been visiting. It's by the sea, beautiful, understated. All the girls are very young. They're drugged, totally unconscious, like empty bodies or blank canvases he can project his memories on. He can relive great affairs, great passions. The experience jars memories, the smell of very young flesh. To poke it and have it come back springy and plump with that slightly milky smell that young humans have. He's completely hooked on this. He begins to visit the same girl again and again. But after he's poked her a little bit and smelled every area of her body and explored this, well, there's no relationship there. He realizes that he can reach through the haze of the drug by inflicting subtle pain. Not beating her, but something that will leave no marks. A small thing, like a slight pressure along the meridians of her body. I suppose that when the girl feels pressure, because he squeezed or hurt that knuckle or joint before, she's going to move. He creates a relationship with her through subtle pain. She wakes up in the morning with no memory of this. She's been the dutiful daughter. Except this woman is having a pain-stimulated relationship with someone she never sees or actually knows. She's bound to have some kind of bleed-through in her everyday life. If you flinch every time someone reaches for your neck, at some point, you're going to ask yourself why. It reminds me of stories I've read, science fiction, or speculative fiction, let's call it, because it's so close to true, about pleasure models, meat puppets, they call them. They have neural bypasses which allow them to function as prostitutes with no memory of the experience. This one woman is working as a meat puppet to earn money to have her nervous system jacked up to become a street samurai, a kind of hired gun with bionic reflexes. And she starts having these bleed-throughs of brothel experiences that come through like the faint stains of a bad dream. It's a kind of classic female catch-22. To have the tools she needed to make her professionally efficient, she had to have cash. So she works as an unconscious pleasure model. It was like blank time, a matter of coming to and finding you're a little bit sore and wondering, where the hell have I been?
Thank you.
Mesmer, Secrets of the Human Frame, was conceived and composed by Tony Dove. The recording and mix was done at Studio Pass in New York City with Dana McCurdy, engineer. The introduction, I've Got You Under My Skin by Cole Porter, and The Last Story were performed by Judy Nylon, who also co-wrote The Last Story. All other female characters written and performed by Tony Dove. Brian Goldberg was Thomas Edison, and Peter Ely Humer was Sigmund Freud. Freud's text was from Dora, a fragment of an analysis of a case of hysteria, 1905. Source materials for The Sound Environment, Alessandro Moreschi, The Last Castrato, 1902, several Puccini arias, and Koran chants by Indonesian singer Yasin. Keyboards on Scream Symphony, Tony Dove with Dana McCurdy. This project was completed with the help of Creative Time Incorporated, Art Matters Incorporated, and an artist-in-residency grant from Harvest Works Studio Pass. Mesmer, Secrets of the Human Frame, was first performed as an installation with visual projections at Art in the Anchorage in Brooklyn, New York in 1990. It was sponsored by Creative Time. New American Radio is made possible with major funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Rockefeller Foundation, and additional funding from the Jerome Foundation and the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. The series is produced by New Radio and Performing Arts in Brooklyn, New York, which is solely responsible for its content. The executive producer is Helen Thorington. Regina Beyer is the associate producer, and I am Valerie Smaldone. If you would like to comment on the program you've just heard, please call your public radio station or write New Radio and Performing Arts, 284 Eastern Parkway, Apartment 2H, Brooklyn, New York. That's New Radio and Performing Arts, 284 Eastern Parkway, Apartment 2H, Brooklyn, New York.
You just heard Mesmer by Tony Dove, broadcast by New American Radio.